Now, we've been looking at the ministry of angels from last Sunday, last Wednesday, and today we continue on the ministry of angels. Now, what is the ministry of angels? We said from the scripture we just read that God has given us angels to be our helper, to minister to us, those of us who have given our heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Angels are not just something in the blue or something made out of fictions. No, angels are a reality. Amen. They are a reality. They are the people that God has given, or they are the beings that God has given to help the believer. And every believer needs to be conscious about the angel that God has given to them. Try to emphasize from last Sunday that you must know that angels are on assignment concerning your life. Try to make us understand from scripture that in the early days, the patriarch fathers, the prophets, the early disciples, the Lord Jesus, every one of them understood the ministry of angels. And they took it seriously. They didn't just take it as one of those things. Hallelujah. They knew that angels were real. Hallelujah. They knew that angels were there to defend them. The book of Psalm will say, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in what? In all your ways. They knew that they were angels that would keep them in all their ways. They knew that as they walk along the street, as they go to work, as they come back, as they travel, whatever they do, they knew that they were angels given to take charge concerning them. And for us as believers today, we need to begin to understand the reality of angels. Hallelujah. That is not just something we see in the movie. It's not just something that is made up. It's not just something that used to happen in the Bible days. No, there are things that are still happening today. Hallelujah. Angels are on assignment. Try to establish the fact that even when we gather on Wednesday, if you were here, we saw in scriptures that every time we gather, the angels of God are gathered with us. The Bible speaks about the innumerable company of angels in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, we have come to Mount Zion, and he concludes by saying, we have come to an innumerable company of angels. That there are angels all around, like we're sitting here today. I'd like you to know that there are angels here. Hallelujah. There are angels seated here with us. And that is why you can believe God for your healing. You can believe God for your breakthrough. You can believe God for a touch from him. Why? Because the angels of God are here with us. When we come together, God has never made our meetings to become like a social gathering. No. His presence is always with us. Hallelujah. We understand, and I said on Wednesday, if you were here, that we do not pray to angels. I just try to drop that. We don't pray to angels. We pray to the Lord, and the Lord gives the angels charge over us. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, I can pray the Father, and he will send 12 legions of angels. So it's important as we teach, as we talk about the ministry of angels, you must not place angels in a pedestal that they don't belong to. Angels are not gods. Are you following me? Angels are not worshipped. We don't worship angels. They are sent to minister to us, to help us, to bring us into the purpose of God for our life, to bring us into our inheritance. That's why the Bible says, I will send my angels before you. Hallelujah. For somebody, the angel of God will take you to your inheritance. In the name of Jesus. The purpose, the plan, the will, and the mind of God concerning you, the angel of God will clear the way for you and bring you to your inheritance. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. And I said on Wednesday that one of the things we want to do today is to have a picture of what angels look like. Hallelujah. And I will try to explain to us today what angels look like. If you turn your Bibles quickly with me to the book of Isaiah chapter number 6. Let's begin from there. Isaiah chapter 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, dear God. Oh, blessed be God forevermore. Hallelujah. The presence of God is in the house. The glory of God is here. The Spirit of God is at work already. In the name of Jesus, let your heart be open to receive from him today. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning from verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, This is the prophet Isaiah speaking. He said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and what? Lifted up, and his train, what? Filled the temple. Verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that crieth, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having live coals in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Amen. Now, as we talk about the angelic beings or the spiritual beings or the angels, the first class of angels I want to talk to you about are the ones called the seraphims. Hallelujah. Seraph for singular, but seraphims for plural. Seraphim simply means the burning ones. Hallelujah. Now, seraphims are one of the classes of angels that the Bible teaches us about. Now, the peculiar thing about the seraphims that the Bible talks about is that these beings, they stay around the throne of God and they have six wings. Now, you might have seen some pictures with angels with two wings, or movies or things with angels with two wings. I've tried to do a study and look at scripture. I couldn't find any angel with two wings. Hallelujah. But in scripture, the Bible talks about this angel that they had six wings. Now, with two wings, the Bible said they covered their face because they can't behold God's glory. Hallelujah. The reason is because the brightness from God's glory can blind you. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord, when he enters, sometimes is the glory of God is brighter than the sun. Hallelujah. That is why it's difficult to actually be, you can't look at the sun with your natural eyes. So usually, when they are around the throne of God, the Bible says they cover their face because of his glory. Because they are around the throne of God. And the Bible says with two wings, they cover their feet. Hallelujah. Because feet stands for impurity, and that's why we wash our feet and everything. Now the Bible says, but with two wings they fly. So they have six wings, but they fly with two. The other four wings, now this is the seraphims we're talking about. Hallelujah. They stay around the throne of God. The Bible says they cry holy before God. And Isaiah said, I saw them. I saw them when King Uzziah died. And when I saw the throne of God, these seraphims were all around. And the glory of God filled the temple. It says the presence of God filled the whole place. His strength filled the temple. And Isaiah said, when I saw what they looked like, and I saw the glory of God, all of a sudden, I became conscious of my sin. Because when you really see God's glory, you will know that you are not worthy. Hallelujah. When you see God's glory, you just realize that, whoa, I am undone. And the Bible says, one of them took a fire from the altar and touched his mouth and said, your iniquity is purged. Now, we'll come back here as we progress tonight. But something I'd like you to see here is that Isaiah had been a prophet before now. It wasn't his first encounter with the prophetic. Isaiah had been a prophet. He started prophesying from Isaiah chapter 1, but we're talking about Isaiah chapter 6. But he got into the consciousness of angelic beings. And something happened to him. It is important for us to be conscious about God's presence. Now, these are the seraphims. Now, the Bible tells us they have hands as well. They have wings, they have hands. Hallelujah, because with the hand, they took a coal. Now, the second class of angels the Bible speaks about are called the cherubims. The cherubims. Now, some of you would have seen some things they call cherubs. In the world, they have some buildings, some gates, some people's houses. You see some little baby with wings, and they call them cherubs. Now, that is a deception. That is not the cherubs. Hallelujah. That is the demonic deception, because it gives people a wrong idea of what the angel of God look like. Hallelujah. Now, the cherubs, let's look at scripture. The difference between the seraphims and the cherubims, mainly looking at scripture, is that the cherubs, they had four wings. Unlike the seraphims that have six wings, cherubs have four wings. Now look at, let's just establish scripture here first. Now Genesis chapter 3 verse 24, the Bible tells us that when man was driven from the Garden of Eden, God sent a cherub to protect the garden. Hallelujah. With a flaming sword, so that man will not enter into it. Now, another thing about the cherubs is that God actually, they are like the wheels of God, the transportation of the Lord. So the Bible speaks about God riding upon the cherubs. Now, if you look at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22, I believe 2 Samuel 22. Thank you, Lord. Verse 11, it says, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind. Hallelujah. Now, but let me show you physical description of what they look like. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are you there with me? Ezekiel chapter 10, let's read verse number, might read Ezekiel 1 as well, but let's look at verse number 20. You can read the chapter, the whole chapter of chapter 10, but let me just read verse number 20 because of time. It says, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chiba, and I knew that they were cherubims. Everyone had four faces apiece. Now look at their description. This is what they look like. Everyone had four faces apiece, and everyone four wings, and the likeness of hands of a man was under their wings. And the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river of Chiba. Their appearance and themselves, they went everyone one straight forward. Now, the cherubims, the Bible says every one of them have four faces. Okay? But they have four wings. Now, one cherub has four faces. If you read the scripture, I don't know if I can read it now. Probably, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Maybe that will help. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the first day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chiba, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. May you see the visions of God. In the name of Jesus. May you see visions of God. It says, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chiba, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. And I looked, and beheld a wild wind came out of the north, a great cloud and fire unfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Now let me see if I can jump somewhere. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of calf's feet, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and therefore had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side. The four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their body. And they went everyone straight forward, whether the spirit was to go. Can you see that? Whether the spirit was to go, that's where they go. Like a transport. Hallelujah. They went and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creature, their appearance were like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamp. It went up and down among the living creature, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creature ran and went as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, I think I'm going to stop because I don't think if I keep reading everything, I'll be able to finish what I need to do today. Now, this is Ezekiel chapter 1. And Ezekiel chapter 10, Ezekiel was saying, this was what I saw in chapter 1. They were the cherubs. Now, the cherubs, the Bible says they have four faces. Each one of them have four faces. Hallelujah. Now, one has four faces. In other words, on their four sides, there's a face here, a face here, a face here, a face here. If you read the whole chapter of chapter 10, the Bible talks about their face, their wings full of eyes. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says the four of them, their wings touch each other. Two wings touch each other. Hallelujah. And with two wings, they fly. Sorry, with two wings, they cover themselves. But the Bible says when they move in a direction. They don't turn. So if they are moving this way, they just go this way. Hallelujah. If they are going like this, they go like this. They go like this, they go like that. Four, because they have four faces. The Bible says one of the faces is like the face of a man. Another face is like the face of a lion. Another face is like the face of an ox. Another face is like the face of an eagle. And the Bible says these are the cherubs. Hallelujah. Now, if you read the book of Revelation chapter 4, the Bible talks about four living creatures, which also looks exactly like the cherubs. But in Revelation, they are just called four living creatures. Hallelujah. Now, these are angelic beings. But the responsibility of the cherubs is that they stay around the throne of God. Now, the seraphims and the cherubims, actually, their duty is not with man. They're angels, angelic beings, but their duty is with God and with the throne of God. Now, but there are angels that are sent to us, like the Bible teaches. Now, the angels that are sent to us, number one, they're called, put it this way, there's the archangel, which is a higher angel compared to the normal angel. Now, the Bible speaks about archangels. The word arch means chief angel. Hallelujah. Now, if you read the book of Jude chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says there, can you turn with me, Jude? Speaks about Michael being an archangel. Verse 9, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, the chief angel, because it talks about hierarchies. Hallelujah. It says, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a ruling accusation, but said the Lord rebuked it. But what I just want you to see there is the word archangel. Now, in scripture, in the Bible, there are only two angels whose name are mentioned. Angel Michael and Angel Gabriel. Hallelujah. Every time Angel Michael is mentioned in regarding warfare. Hallelujah. So people generally we assume that Michael is an archangel, a chief angel when it comes to do with warfare. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that Michael is the angel that stands for Israel. Hallelujah. He says it's the angel that fights for Israel. So when the Bible talks about the angel of his presence that led them, if we want to look at it in the light of the fact that Daniel said it's the angel that stands for the people of Israel, then we know he's speaking about angel Michael. That's me saying that, not in scripture. The Bible didn't put, hallelujah. But just putting two and two together, amen. Praise God. Now, the other angel is Angel Gabriel. And every time Angel Gabriel is mentioned in scripture, hallelujah, It has to do with giving a message. Hallelujah. The Bible says Angel Gabriel was sent to Daniel. Angel Gabriel was sent to who? Zechariah. Angel Gabriel was sent to Mary. Hallelujah. So every time the Bible speaks about Angel Gabriel, it was always about giving information, about bringing revelation, about saying what God is about to do. Now, there are a lot of places of books, of documentary, people that will tell you that they know about Angel Uriel, Raphael, Susanna. There was one that somebody said on TV. I can't remember what he called him. It's just something. I can't remember what he called. He called a very funny name. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us about any other angel apart from these two. And may I say to you that the names of angels are not important to you. Are you following me? Now, apart from the two that God has mentioned, don't try to find another one. The reason I'm telling you this is because the Bible tells us that Satan has transformed himself as an angel of light. So that you don't wake up tomorrow and you say, Pastor, as I was in my room, one angel came and he says his name is Angel Susanna. Now, first of all, just know, number one, that is a demon you saw. Hallelujah. If you read the book of Genesis, praise God forevermore. In Genesis chapter 28, Genesis chapter 32, not 28. Genesis chapter 32, it tells us about the experience of Jacob with the angel. Quickly, let me just try and get the scripture. Now, look at verse number 28. Genesis 32, 28. It says, and he said, now this is the angel saying, he says, or let me read it from where you understand. And he said unto him, verse 27, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hath thou power with God and with man, and as what? Prevailed. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou didst ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Can you see that? Now, the angel asked Jacob, say, what is your name? Say, my name is Jacob. And he said, okay, your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name is now Israel. I've changed your destiny. Now you have power with God and with man. Now your life will turn around. Hallelujah. Then the Bible tells us, then Jacob now said, okay, what is your name? So that I can say that I saw Susanna. But you know what the angel said? He said, what is your business with my name? Because you don't really need the name of an angel. There is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. For at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee will bow. Of things in heaven, on things on earth, on things underneath the earth. Hallelujah. So we don't need any other name. The only name you need is the name of what? Jesus. So angelic names is not important to you. Don't seek angels. Don't seek their names. Just be conscious of the fact that they are sent to work for you. They are sent to bring God's promises in your life to come to pass. That's what God has called them to do. Hallelujah. We saw on Wednesday in Revelation, the angel said, do not worship me. We don't worship him. He said, don't worship me. I am his fellow servant like you. Hallelujah. Don't place them in a pedestal they don't belong to. Hallelujah. Every true angel, I am saying this because I know of churches that you will go to and they will teach you about Angel Gabriel, Angel Uriel, Angel Raphael, and give you all kinds of names. Raise Angel Rofeka. We used to have, when I was growing up, we used to attend a church where they give us angels' name. Angel Rofeka, I remember that name. Praise God. It's not in the Bible. And if it's not in scripture, you have no business with it. Hallelujah. Now, apart from the archangels we've talked about, which are the chief angels, we also have normal angels. Hallelujah. So the Bible will speak about angels in different places. But the key thing you need to understand about every other angel is that when angels appear, usually they appear as humans. They don't come with wings. Hallelujah. Now, as we are seated here today, an angel can decide to come physically and sit with us in a meeting, and you will not know that it's an angel, because you will think it's just another human being. Because when they come as humans. I'm not talking about the seraphims or the cherubims or the four living creatures. I didn't read the four living creatures, but they are similar to the cherubims if you read the book of Revelation chapter 4. So I don't want to go there because of time. Hallelujah. But every other angel, the Bible speaks about when they appear like a man. Genesis chapter number 18. And chapter 19. But let's see if we can just pick chapter 19. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are you there with me? Beginning from verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at night, at evening, and Lot sat in the gates of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may what? Know them. Now look at what the Bible tells us here. Two angels, if you read chapter 18, the same angels had met Abraham, and they told Abraham that they were going to Sodom and Gomorrah to find out what was happening there, because their cry has ascended unto heaven. And the Bible says this angel left Abraham and they went to Sodom. When they got to Sodom, the Bible says Lot, who was now in Sodom, hallelujah, was in the gate of the city and saw this man at evening time. And because he understood how dangerous Sodom was at that time, because at this time, Sodom was full of homosexuals. Now, the homosexual, it was so bad that the Bible says from every quarter. So it wasn't just one few people. It was as if the whole city. Hallelujah. That is why you must understand there is nothing new. Nothing is new before God. God is not surprised. Hallelujah. Don't think God is surprised. If you see it happening again, it's just what has been before. Hallelujah. But God is always in charge. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, when the angels came, Lot began to press them, say, come and stay in my house. Spend the night, eat and wash your feet, have meal. Tomorrow morning you can continue on your journey. Which is what the early disciples used to do, the patriarch father. That was a practice, it's a Jewish custom. It's a godly custom, it's a Christian custom. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that be careful, be careful to entertain strangers. He said, because some have entertained angels unawares. Now, if they come with wings, would you not know? But they come as humans, so you don't even know that they are angels. So the Bible says, be careful when you entertain strangers. Take care, because angels can come in that way. Hallelujah. So this was what Abraham did in chapter 18, and this was what Lot was doing in chapter 19. So eventually the men said, no, we'll stay in the city center. But eventually he compelled them and they went into his house. But the Bible tells us, this is where I'm going to, that the men of the city said, bring us those men that came In other words, when the angels came, they were just like human beings. Hallelujah. So when we talk about angels, it is not necessarily you will see two wings. I tried to find two wings angel in scripture. I couldn't find anyway. Or you will see four wings, or you will see six wings coming to you. Sometimes God just sends them and they just come like humans. They just come like human beings. You don't even know that they are angels. Sometimes you are in distress and somebody comes to you and tries to render help to you. And you don't know them. They just help you. And when they finish helping you, they leave. Oh, it was just one man that came to our rescue. It was just one man that saw me on the way and gave me a lift. It was the angel of God sent on assignment to help you. Somebody say amen. So we must understand that when angels come, they don't necessarily have to come with wings. Again and again, when you read scriptures, when angels appear, they just appear like humans. They just come like humans. They don't come with wings. They don't come with, oh, I am an angel now, see me. No, no, no. Many times they just come like you. They'll come like anybody. But they are coming to fulfill a mission. Hallelujah. The Bible says God has given them to help us, to bring us to our inheritance, to bring us to our possession. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. But I want to read something to you today, and this is where we're going to be closing. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, the Bible tells us about Jacob's experience with the angels. Genesis chapter 28, you can read the whole chapter on your own, but I'll just pick it from verse number 10. Are you there with me? Glory to God in the highest. Angels are in the house. Hallelujah. We have come to an innumerable company of angels. Every time we gather, they are here. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Verse number 10. The Bible says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. Verse number 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. I wish somebody would say amen. It says, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, this is beautiful. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Thank you, Jesus. And Jacob, verse 16. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Somebody say amen. Now the Bible tells us here, Jacob, as he was leaving home, going to Laban's house, got to this particular place, and it was the sun had set, it was now late. The Bible says he decided to just pass the night there on this particular spot. Now he didn't think about it. He just decided to rest, like where he was coming from, like every other land. He just felt, okay, let me just rest because it's late. And the Bible says he took stones for his pillow and he decided to sleep. And the Bible says while he was sleeping, God gave him a vision. And in the vision, he saw a ladder reaching up to heaven, and he saw angels ascending and descending upon it. And at the top of it, God was there. And God began to speak to him and said, Jacob, I am the God of your father Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. He says, the land you are, I'm going to give to you. He says, I'm going to make you spread to the west, to the north, to the south, to the east. He says, I will bless you, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And he says, I am with you and I will keep you everywhere you are going. And he says, listen, I will not leave you until I have fulfilled everything I've spoken to you about. People, your dreams are coming true. Amen. What he has spoken concerning you, he will bring it to pass. Amen. He will not stop. He will not leave you until he's established. In the name of Jesus. Your life is beautiful. Oh, tell yourself, my life is beautiful because God is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says that when Jacob woke up, Jacob said, wow, God is in this place and I did not know. He says, this is none other but the gate of heaven, the house of God and the gate of heaven. Now let me give you a picture. All over the face of the earth, okay, angels, put it this way, I just want to give you a picture. This is a picture that the Holy Spirit brought to me. Angels are in Iraq, they are in America, they are everywhere. But there is a place where is the gate where they pass to go up and come down. Now, when they want to descend, they come through that gate. Are you following me? You know, when you want to enter access, you go through a gate. And when they are coming, when they are going back, they go through this gate. Now the Bible says this was the place that Jacob unconsciously decided, he didn't know, unconsciously decided to spend the night. And do you know why the whole world is fighting for Israel today? Satan wants that place. Because he knows that that is the gate. Where he can, if he can take control of that place, then he can shut it so that nobody can come down or go up. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us, I'm just giving you a picture of what Jacob saw. Okay? Now the Bible tells us when Jacob saw it, Jacob said, wow, so this is the gate of heaven. So if you want to go to heaven, this is the gate. This is where angels go through. Are you following me? Are you catching the picture? In other words, even though the angels might be dispatched to Nigeria, to South Africa, to wherever, when they are going, they go through the gate of heaven. When they are coming, they come through the gate of heaven. But it's in a particular location. And that's why God says, I will give them this land. Are you following me? Because it's that land that is the entrance from heaven to earth. Oh, I wish you understand what I'm saying tonight. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, this is the gate of heaven. This is the place. This is where angels are. And Jacob now said, this is not none other than the house of God. And he called it what? Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. He says, before now, that place has been known as Luz. Hallelujah. Now let me bring one or two things to you here before we pray. Glory to God. Now, Jacob did not know where he was, that angels were there, and it was a place that led to heaven. Just as many times when we come before the presence of God, we don't understand that God is in the place. Now, but when Jacob realized that God is in this place, do you know what he called it? He said, this is the house of God. Now, let me give you a simple picture. As we are gathered here today, this is the gate of heaven. Spiritually speaking, this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. Hallelujah. That was a physical experience he was having. I'm talking about a spiritual experience. But do you know, when you come into the house of God, you can choose to call it what you like. The Bible says that place was already named before he went there. But when he got there, he said, "This is Bethel." Now you can see today and you can say, "Well, I am in Blackfriars Center," because that's what it's called. But you can choose to say, "No, I am in Bethel. I am in the house of God. This is the place where God dwells. This is the place where God dwells. This is the gate of heaven. I am in God's very presence." Are you following me? It takes your consciousness being awakened. There is something about understanding and knowing fully where you are. Because let me tell you, again and again, God will only minister and reach out to you when your consciousness is awakened. Are you following me? You can come to the house of God like we are today, and oh well, maybe when we leave here, maybe tomorrow we'll have a dance group here. Or we may have another children play group here. Or we may have another conference, somebody having a football seminar. It's called loose. Are you following me? It's called anything. That's how they name it. But when you come in, you say, "This is better." Are you following me? This is better. This is the gate of heaven. Oh, I wish you would catch that. That simply means where you are right now, the presence of God is here. Listen, listen. It was Jacob who named it. It was Jacob who named it. It wasn't the angels. You choose to name where you are tonight. It can be Blackfriars Center, or it can be the gate of heaven. It can be the presence of the living God. It can be the house of God. And the consciousness you carry is what will make you receive from God. Now, you see, there is something about a carnal believer. You know, the Bible speaks about spiritual believers and speaks about believers who are carnal. Okay, now, when we say carnal, it doesn't mean that they are not born again. It simply means that they are born again, but they still live like the world. They still think like the world. They still act like the world. Are you following me? They have no consciousness of spirituality. They have no consciousness of spiritual presence. They have no consciousness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. They have no consciousness of the presence of God. So they might even be in church and they have no consciousness of God's presence. You know, I was saying on Wednesday, the Bible says, when you get into the house of the Lord, what do you do? Keep your food, lest the angels be angry with you. Hallelujah. Because some people come to God's presence because they are so carnal in their thinking, they don't understand that they are not in God's presence. They think we are in Blackfriars Center. How are you? No consciousness of spirituality. They are so carnal that they live so naturally that even spiritual atmosphere around them, they don't sense it. And when you don't sense it, you can't see it. So Isaiah, where we read, Isaiah said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." In other words, before now, the prophet Isaiah, even though has been a prophet, has been carnal. Has been a very carnal prophet, even though he was already prophesying. If you read Isaiah chapter 1, he was already saying, "Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." He was already prophesying. But in chapter 6, the Bible says, he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, then I saw the Lord." What happened? It means something that was wrong was taken away. His eyes became conscious to spiritual things. His eyes became conscious to heavenly reality. Ezekiel said, "I saw the visions of God." He became conscious of the presence of God. He became conscious of the power of God. He became conscious of the glory of God. He became conscious of the almightiness of God. The Bible says he saw God in all of his beauty. He saw the seraphim singing holy and crying holy before him. He saw the train of God fill the temple. And all of a sudden he saw his unworthiness. He saw that I am not what I ought to be. People, are you here today and you are not what you are supposed to be? Are you living a life of consciousness of spiritual things? Are you living a life of consciousness of the presence of God? Or your life has lost spirituality and you now live so carnal, so earthly, that you can't even sense when the Spirit of God speaks to you anymore. You can't even sense when the power of God is moving. You know, sometimes, you know, I was in a church while we went to Nigeria. Pastor Casey was with me. And, you know, I was ministering and the unction of God was so strong. And I just saw one man just moving outside. I didn't know from where. I wouldn't have done that normally. But in my spirit, there was this, oh God, he can't even understand. I didn't know when I said in the microphone, what kind of people, how can you under this unction just be walking away as if nothing is happening? No consciousness of spiritual things. No consciousness of the presence of God. No consciousness of the reality of God's presence. As I'm talking to you right now, there are angels here. The presence of God is here. The glory of God is in the house. But you see, people can lose consciousness. As I said, woe is me. You know, people, I don't know what may represent King Uzziah in your life that needs to die so that your spirituality will be awakened again. Whatever it is, you know, sometimes there are even good things like our own ambitions. Let me tell you something. Ambitions are good if it lines up with God's purpose for your life. If your ambition does not line up with God's purpose for your life, throw it in the bin. David will say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to sit in the tents of wickedness. Sometimes the thing that blinds us is our own ambition, what we want to be. And all of a sudden you are losing consciousness of what the Lord is saying to you. What is God telling you? The direction you are taking, the things you are doing, where you want to be. Are you sure it's God's leading? Is there a spiritual leading? Is there a spiritual are you following me? Is there a spiritual consciousness? Sometimes it's our own needs, the needs in our life. Our prayer requests, the miracle we have been waiting for. You know, sometimes you can be waiting for something for so long and it hasn't come. And before you know, if you are not careful, you become angry with God. Exciting. You know, Satan is very tricky. And the Bible talks about, you know, I think in Corinthians, it says, if you have bitterness and strife in your heart, are you not carnal? Because before you know, if you are not careful, you have been waiting for that job. You have been waiting to get married. You have been waiting for that miracle. You have been praying about it. And it looks like time has been passing you by. And unconsciously, in your spirit man, you begin to feel bitter. You begin to feel offended. And Jesus said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. You're like, God, why not? Why? What is blinding your eyes? It is just what you are waiting for. It's not because God doesn't want to do it. But all of a sudden, King Uzziah is rising up. May he die tonight. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. May that thing die. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Sometimes there are things we really think we need. And physically speaking, maybe we need them. But it might be the things that have taken God's consciousness. And it's taken away reality, spiritual reality from you. It's taken away God's plan for your life. It's taken away the hand of God. You no longer see God in his beauty. You no longer see God for who he is. All you see is your need. It's a miracle. It hasn't happened. God hasn't done it. I have been waiting. I have been waiting. This is when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. When he died, in other words, when that thing dies, when you come to the place where you say, enough, Lord, I just surrender to you. It happens, praise God. It doesn't happen, praise you. I just want to be with you. I just want to see your glory. I just want to see you. That's what I want to see. Jacob said, God was in this place and I knew it not. I didn't know. I didn't know that God was here. People, your spiritual consciousness is the best thing you can ever have. When you are conscious every day of the reality of God's presence, of the reality of angelic ministration, of the reality of spiritual things, that natural things becomes nothing. There's a song we sing that says, when I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you. He says, when everything that surrounds me, they become shadows. 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 Sometimes we can look at our life and we'll think, God, where am I here? Why am I here? What is happening to me? What? Look at my equals. Look at my friends. Look at my colleagues. Look at, why am I alive like this? What is speaking? Is that a spiritual consciousness or something physical trying to blind your eyes to God's purpose for your life? To God's plan for your life? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you tonight. Let him awaken your consciousness to reality. Let him awaken. You see, there is a danger, okay, very big danger if we are not spiritually sensitive. If you read the book of Acts, I'm not going to turn there because of time, but if you read Acts chapter 4, the last part, the ending part, and Acts chapter 5, the Bible tells us in the early church, something happened. There was a great presence of God, great outpouring of God's Spirit, and people were getting saved, people were getting delivered, people were so involved with God, people were so caught up with the things of God that people began to sell their possessions, sell their lands, sell what they have, and the Bible tells us that they began to give everything to the Lord. They'll bring it to apostles' feet. That was the consciousness that they carried. Then in chapter 5, the Bible tells us there was a couple called Ananias and Sapphira. The Bible said these ones, they owned a land, they sold it. And when they sold it, because they did not understand that what was happening was God, they didn't have any spiritual consciousness. They thought it was just a meeting. It was just a party. And you know what they did? The Bible said they kept part of the money and they went and presented as if they were giving everything. Because they thought they were just dealing with Peter. They were not aware of angelic presence. They were not aware that God's presence were there. They were not aware that they were in the house of God. They thought it was just Peter. And the Bible says, and Ananias came to Peter and gave the offering. Naturally speaking, the man of God should be excited. But the Bible said, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He said, the money, was it not your money? Did you not have the power to do what you want to do with it? You have it, it belongs to you. It's yours. How come you are coming to lie before God saying, this is all when you have kept part of it? You can choose not to sell the land. You can choose to keep everything. Why would they do a thing like that? No spiritual consciousness. They were born again, but they were carnal. They were in the church. And in fact, you can imagine a church that has as many as 5,000, 3,000, because the Bible says the first time 3,000 so God saved. Multitude God saved. Now, a large church like that, imagine that Peter knew the name of Ananias and Sapphira. To tell you that they were very, very involved in what was happening. But they were carnal. No spiritual consciousness. They thought it was a joke. They thought it was just a natural thing. They didn't know angels, right? And the Bible says, be careful when you get into the house of the Lord. Do not make a rash vow, lest the angels be angry with you. Don't say you will do something that you will not do. Say, lest the Lord destroy the work of your hand. Sometimes people make pledges and they don't honor it because they think it's just natural. And you don't know why your life is going the way it's going. Because they think it's just a natural thing. They don't understand. You know, I can imagine, you can imagine, you know, there was a Sunday I prayed concerning the building and I said, God will give you extra funds. Now, saying that, if you are not spiritual, you might get the extra funds and you think it's yours. And you think you are dealing with a man. No spiritual consciousness that there are angels watching everything that is happening. And the Bible says, as Peter was speaking to him, he dropped dead. They came, they took him. And the wife came 3 hours later. And Peter said, Sapphira, How much did you sell the land? Was it like this? Oh, yes, 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 this is what we sold it. And the Bible says, Peter said, how come that both of you have decided to lie against the Holy Spirit? And the Lord struck him, struck her. She died on the spot. Now, that's a danger of not being spiritually conscious. He says, I saw the Lord. There was a man in the book of Acts chapter 8 called Simon the Sorcerer, I believe, if I'm not making a mistake. The Bible tells us about him that when Philip went to Samaria, people got saved. A lot of people gave their life to Christ. And himself, who used to be a magician, also gave his life to Christ. But you know what? He was following, the Bible says, he was following Philip every day, beholding the miracles that were happening. He was just going, wow. He was just so astonished, so surprised. But you would have thought that he was saved. He was spiritual. No, he was still carnal. And the Bible tells us when Peter came and he saw Peter laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he gave Peter money. He said, can you give me some of those power? And Peter said, your money perish with you. I see that you are full of the gall of bitterness. He says, your heart is not right. He says, you better repent before the judgment of God come upon you. And he began to pray to Peter, please don't allow any of these things come upon me. Why would he do a thing like that? He was supposed to be born again. He was born again, but he was what? Carnal. Romans will say, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. People, it's time to be spiritually minded. It's time to wake up to reality. Jacob says, the Lord is in this place and I knew it, Lord. May you know it today. May your eyes be open. May you see clearly the presence of God. May you not be carried away by physical things, but see him in all of his glory. Let's rise up on our feet and we will pray. Thank you, Jesus. People, I'd like you to know that the angels of God are all around. But the presence of God is here. Why don't you give the Lord a place in your life? Begin to surrender yourself to him. Surrender your life to him. Tell him, Lord, take away carnality from me. Lord, take away carnality. Let me not be a carnal Christian. Let me be aware of your spirituality, Lord. Awaken my consciousness again. Take away every death from my life. Wake me up, O God. Wake me up, O God. Wake me up, O God. From calamity, Lord. Oh, that I will see you, O God. Come on, see visions of God. See the visions of God. See the visions of God. See the visions of God. Let Uzziah die from your life. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah 37 verse 21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos went to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou had prayed unto me, Sennacherib king of Assyria, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria. Now then to verse 33, the Bible says, therefore thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same way he shall return. And he shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 36, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of Assyria 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. In the name of the Lord Jesus, as you have prayed before the Lord concerning that request, whatever it might be, whatever the petition you have presented before the Lord, as Hezekiah presented his petition against the king of Assyria, as you have presented your petition, as the Lord spoke, so shall it be concerning you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that the king of Assyria will not shoot an arrow. The same way he came, the same way he will go. in the name of the Lord Jesus. That problem, that situation, that hardship, that difficulty, that problem, that anxiety, that fear, that depression, that worry, that sickness, that disease, that unemployment, whatever it is, the same way it came, the same way it will go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, not an arrow will be shot, not a bank will be made against you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord will defend you, the Lord will stand for you, for his own name's sake. And as God has spoken tonight, I release the angel of God to go on your behalf. In the name of the Lord Jesus, to strike at the opposition. In the name of the Lord Jesus, to destroy every opposition, to destroy every blockade, to destroy every hindrance, to destroy every enemy of your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says when they rose up in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Everything that has fought your life, fought your destiny, fought your progress, fought the purposes of God concerning you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, as you wake up tomorrow morning, there will be dead corpses. In the name of the Lord Jesus, anyone that has risen against your life, be it humans, be it devils, by the time you wake up tomorrow morning, according to the word of the Lord, they become dead corpses. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the angel of God go on your behalf. Execute judgment on your behalf. Execute judgment on your behalf. Execute judgment on your behalf. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you. The Lord smile over you. The Lord give you victory on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus. If you receive that child, amen. Amen. Clap your hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Lift your right hand and declare with me now, the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let's share the grace of fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen and amen. I declare that this is a week of good news for you. I declare that there is a testimony coming your way. I declare that you are coming back rejoicing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. God bless you. Have a good evening in Jesus' name.